pray that this morning I may just be a vessel, that everything that proceeds forth from this place, may it be you speaking, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So while you go to 1 Thessalonians, today we are going to be tackling a second portion of this amazing series that we began last week. And if you were here last week, Moruti was actually teaching on 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and he spoke about in light of his coming, we live a life of faith. I know this is something we have heard time and again. This is something not only have we heard, it's something that we've probably gotten tired of hearing, which does not make it any easier, because the second message that I'm going to be teaching on today is in light of his coming, we live in community. And I know some of you are already thinking, why is that necessary? Are we not already in community? You know, isn't that why we're here? Because we are in community. But before we get there, there's a beautiful picture that I want to share, just a bit of background about the church in Thessalonica with you this morning. So as I was doing my research as to where this church is and what was happening, I think Acts chapter 17, it speaks beautifully about what happens here. Because Paul says they were coming from Philippi on top there, and they had suffered much persecution leaving Philippi, so they went down to Thessalonica, which is one of the most dominant cities in Macedonia. And what really gives it the status, it's because of its geographic location. You'll see that it's right, literally, on the bay of Macedonia. This means people who want to access this country, they would come through Thessalonica. So there's different types of people who are living there. There's the Jews, the Greeks, and this nation was actually under the Roman, what do we call it? The Roman government. Amen? So Paul's leaves Philippi, he comes to Thessalonica, and then he stays there for about 3 weeks preaching the gospel. And in that 3 weeks, we see the Bible says that he faced so much persecution. He suffered so much persecution because in this part of Macedonia, there were people that were really just bold, you know, in how they conducted themselves and how they spoke. So a group of people, they came together and then they began to persecute. But now what I want you to actually understand is that they spent just 3 weeks. And the most amazing thing is that when they got there, the Thessalonians were not people who were just open to the idea of the gospel. They were a closed nation. They believed in other gods. They worshipped idols. They believed they worshipped Caesar. So Paul, I want to emphasize this. In a space of 3 weeks, he came, he shared the gospel, and God opened some doors, and some people persecuted him. And then he ran away because of the persecution. He went to Berea, and then from there, he had a great success in ministry. As he began to preach, the church grew in Berea, and then something happens. The same group of people from Thessalonica, they hear that actually Paul is doing so well in Berea. So then they take other guys, and then they follow him, as if it was not enough for them to persecute him. When they get there, Paul has to be snuck out now through the boat, and then he goes from there all the way down to Athens. And then he leaves behind Timothy and Silas to continue the work. But today we are focusing on the church in Thessalonica, where they only had 3 weeks to teach. Imagine, first-time believers, they're bringing a completely different doctrine, and they only have 3 weeks with these guys, and they teach them. The amazing thing is that when Paul leaves Athens, he goes to Corinth, where the Bible says he spent well over a year there, equipping the believers, working with them, and showing them how to do the work of ministry. And Silas and Timothy, they join Paul in Corinth. And when they get to him, you can imagine Paul, he's just there worried about the work they had done in Thessalonica, whether anything had remained of their effort. Paul is worried about the believers that he had reached out to, that whether or not they managed to stay, whether or not their faith was firm enough to withstand the persecution that they were facing. And this is not just a persecution from their own people, but from everyone was persecuting the church. So Timothy comes to Paul when he's in Corinth, and then they begin to share with him the amazing report of what happened after they left. And as we pick up from chapter 1, we see how Paul gives this beautiful report. And then Paul is amazed to hear the good news that not only are the believers growing in their faith, but they're also growing in numbers. Isn't that amazing? So as I was preparing this message, I had just one question. What was it that Paul said to the church in 3 weeks that allowed for them to live in community? And not just live in community, but grow individually in the Lord and grow their reach to other people. Amen? So we're going to be reading. And as we read, I want you to have that backstory in mind. As we read chapter 2, we are looking for what Paul said to the Thessalonians that helped them, enable them to withstand persecution. And not just withstand persecution, but also to fight back and to grow and establish the kingdom of God in Thessalonica. And man, it's amazing when you read the whole book in Thessalonians. I love that Paul wrote this book in semi-past tense. He's like, the things we did with you, we did this with you, we did this with you, we did this with you. And I'm so grateful that in our doing this with you, not only did we do that, but you also got this from our times together. Isn't it amazing? Paul is not addressing a current issue, but he's actually saying, well done, because when we did this, what happened? You got it. You got it. Which is why, beyond our time with you, when Sunday finishes and Monday begins, that is when the church in Thessalonica begins with us. It is not what they did when Paul was with them, but it's what they did because of what they had when he was with them, when he had left. Amen? So, our future hope in Christ gives us present purpose and helps us live within community of believers. This sermon series is titled Future Hope because this is the one thing that Paul was addressing and the church in Thessalonica, their future hope. And when I was reading chapter 2, one thing that stood out for me was their future hope in Christ gave them purpose in their present life. And not just that, but it enabled them to live within a community of believers. So to define community, before we jump into the few points. Okay, so by definition, community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. Now, we know that we don't live in the same place, and we thank God for that. But now that we're here, it means we fall into the latter part of this definition. There is a common characteristic that we ought to have, which then means we become community because of that characteristic. Amen? And I want to point you to just these three verses in 1 Thessalonica, and then we're going to focus on them for the rest of this message. I love how Paul wrote this, and as he wrote those 3 points, they stood out for me. He says, "For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encourage you and charge you to walk in the manner worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So this morning, these are the 3 points that I want to touch briefly on. And my assumption is These are the 3 points that enable the church, as we see in the book of Thessalonians, to actually withstand the trouble and the testing that they were going through at their at that time. First, they walked in the manner worthy of God. And then secondly, they lived in and for the kingdom and the glory of God. And then the third one, they lived according to the word of God. And because they had these three characteristics ingrained in their DNA, they were able to come together, and not just come together, they grew individually in the Lord, and they also grew in community in the Lord. Amen? So the first question that I have for you this morning is, how is your walk? Are you walking worthy of the manner of God? I think it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul speaks to the church. He says, I, the prisoner of God, beseech you, therefore, brethren, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that God called you with. Now, the challenging part about us being a community is that there is a coming together that is expected. And the beautiful part about this coming together is that we are all coming together because of one common character or characteristic, is that we are all called by God. I believe each and every single person here is called by God. Wholeheartedly, I believe that. I believe had we had an opportunity to choose a group of people to do church with, I don't think half of us would be here. One, we are not that cool of a church. Maybe we are. Just shows how different we are. Some people come to church just because God has called them to come to this church. If they had it their own way, they would be somewhere where there's light, where the band is bigger, where there's a drama, you know, where there's all these things. But because we are all called by God, then we are able to walk together. We are able to walk one another, not tolerate one another, but we walk with one another. Amen? So how is your walk? Are you walking in a manner that God has called you to walk? Number two, we live in and for the kingdom of God. Now, this was a bit of a difficult point to try and explain, primarily because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17 that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So trying to really get into this, therefore, what does it look like not only to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, but how do we remain in the kingdom while we are still in this world and walking as though we are in the kingdom and we walk for the kingdom of God? Before I explain this one, I want to go to the third one. It says, we live according to the word of God. Now, this is the most beautiful one of these 3 points. Why? Because if you do the word and I do the word, we cannot help but to walk together in the same direction. It is in the doing of the word where we really begin to see within the community who it is that we are walking with. Amen? I love scripture. 1 James 22, it says, but we have to be doers of the word and not just mere hearers of the word. We have to do the word. And I think after Paul and Silas and Timothy reached the church in the Thessalonians, and they began to do the word together, they began to face persecution, but they were not moved because they knew that in the doing of the word, persecution was part and parcel of who they are. They knew that they were worthy of the suffering for God. Why? Because they did the word together. They read 20 chapters together. They did it. There is something amazing in the word once you understand that not only are we all called by God, but God calls us for a purpose. And as we walk out this purpose, God encourages us to walk it in community of believers. And I think this is contrary to what we see in the world today. It is so contrary to what we see today. My last question for this morning is, how do you define community? Because how you define community will determine how far you are willing to go in building this community of God. Now, the biggest thing is that when it comes to community, we all have different preferences. I know for one, I would gladly live in a gated community where walls are slightly taller so that I cannot see my neighbor. And that wall is called Stop Nonsense. So the question is, who's the nonsense? Gladly, security is literally one of the major, major defining factors for me when it comes to community. Is it safe? Is it, well, in Botswana, you washed your car today, tomorrow it's dirty, so are the roads paved? Like closer to, or do you know, how much dirt do I have to drive on? Kind of thing. Who has access to that neighborhood? Because you just never know. People walk around today, the following day, your house has been broken into. So what is community? How do you define community? And how does that affect your definition of this biblical Christian community that God has called us to walk within? There's a picture that's going to show up on the screen. This is my second closing, which just shows how close I am to my last one. This is one of the most trendy catchphrases these days. That we left the church, but not God. This is how people feel today. Because people do not want to be in community. Because people want to build up their walls. And when they've built up their walls, they want to put electric fence. After they put electric fence, they want to put barbed wire. After that, they want to put CCTV. After that, they want to put burglar guards. And then they put dogs. Just to make sure that even though I am in the church, your business is your business. And my business is my business. In fact, let me just leave church altogether and continue to be a Christian all by myself. Isn't this how Christians live? Not only outside the church, but in the church. They've gone to say, we have left the church, but not God. And it sounds so fulfilling now because you don't have to deal with my mess. You just have to look out for your own self. You don't have to deal with your neighbor. Your wall is high. Your electric fence is always on. Your barbed wire is razor sharp. And you capture everything that everyone does to you. You have records, CCTV. Why did you leave the church? Oh, no, Moruti, this one time. Woo, it's captured, stored. But when you read the book of Thessalonians, we see a different type of attitude in the believers living in community. I want to close with this story. When we started dating with my wife, God bless my wife. As I shared, I'm very insecure in every possible way. So my wife would try to correct me and, oh man, I'd come for her. Oh no, I'm just doing this because of the, you know, I'm justifying why. Oh no, this is, you know, this is me. If you can't take me as I am, then just deal with it. Leave me alone. As believers feel today. So my wife, full of the Holy Spirit, says to me, listen, I would never say anything to you with an intention of hurting you. While it might hurt you, why the reason why I'm actually saying it, it comes from the right place. Trust me. How difficult is that? It was so difficult, but I learned to trust her. Man, she would say things, and I felt like she was just hiding behind a statement. That would be so hurtful, and I would play the statement in my head, she does not mean to trust me, to hurt me. And the more we do this thing with one another, the more we hurt one another, the more we grow in the Lord. The more we are vulnerable to each other, the more we grow in the Lord. The more we speak truth to each other, the more we grow, not only as individuals, but we also grow as community. If you ask me, I believe wholeheartedly that God has brought everyone here for my own benefit. You guys are here for my benefit. And if I cannot trust your judgment, then I might as well not be here. Because there is a truth that you will say to me with an intention of building me up. And I need to trust you enough to know that while it might hurt, your intention is not to hurt me. In the Christian community, we are led by these three characteristics. The first one, because our walk is common and it's built upon the same calling, we are all called by God. We are all called by God, so we trust each other. Amen? Because we are all called by God, we trust each other. I could share stories of how many people I've sat with in the church and I've shared my frustration with them and confusion. I'm young, I'm a husband, I'm a father. This country is so hostile, it's not working, it's this, it's that. And then they just look at me as like, dude, we were right there where you are. In fact, my frustrations are safe with them. Because we are all called by the same God with the same calling. The only difference is where we get to execute that calling. We trust each other. So I want to pray this morning as we close. And I want to ask that you would not harden your heart. I know church hurt. And it hurts deeply. Probably because church is the one place where we're supposed to come and we leave feeling better about ourselves. So when you come to church and you do not feel better, trust me, the intention is not to destroy you, but is to build you up. So do not, let me just pray. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We thank you for this amazing picture of the church of in the book of Thessalonians, Father God. Father, we thank you for the amazing work that you did in their lives through the faithfulness of preaching and teaching of your servant Paul, Silas, and Timothy, Father God. Father, as we see how they learned from these men and they took, Father God, these things and they built on them, we saw how you built each one of them up, Father God, and you knitted them together as a community. And because of that, they were able to stand. Even when times were trying, Father God, they stood. I pray for that same spirit upon us, Lord. May we be that iron that sharpen. May we sharpen each other, Father God. I pray that our coming together, we may not tiptoe around each other because we fear offending one another. But I pray that we may have that brotherly love, Father God, that comes from you. As Romans 5:5 says, that your love has been poured out into our hearts, Father God. Teach us how to love one another. Teach us how to bear each other's burdens, Father God. Teach us how to spur each other on for good works, Father God. Teach us how to call out the good out of each other, Father God. And I pray that where there's insecurities, Lord, may you shine your light in those areas, Father God. I pray that truth will prevail in this place. As your word that says that, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. Father, we thank you that you will free all of us, Lord. From all the lies we have believed about ourselves, all the lies we have believed, Father God, about your bride, the church, Father God. Liberate us, Father God, with your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.